Hey, welcome. I'm Chris Lopez, host of the Valley Pod. Joining us today in our studio on the south side of Alamosa is Eric Erickson. He's the CEO of San Luis Valley Rural Electric Cooperative, a company known as SLV REC around the valley. We're going to talk rural data center projects, get his insights. Welcome back. Good to see you again. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Chris.
You know, I think you've been here 3 years in your position as CEO of SLV REC, and I thought we'd start just by you giving us first some insights into the market now that you've been here 3 years, just kind of what's hit you or where your work has taken you these last 3 years.
Well, certainly, yeah. It's just been over 3 years, and I can't be happier. It's been a wonderful experience. We have just some of the greatest communities you can ever imagine, so I appreciate that. In terms of energy, there's really been two priorities this year, kind of at a national level. It's been affecting us, and that is wildfire liability. There's a lot of risk there, and we've been working to develop wildfire mitigation plans, as well as we received about $1.3 million in grants that we were applying towards grid hardening. And then the other issue that that we work on that keeps us awake at night is energy policy. You know, state energy policy has some energy targets to be renewable. The current target is 80% by 2030, and then towards 90% by 2040. So in the industry, there's a transition going on towards renewables. It comes at a cost, and so we're trying to navigate that transition as best we can to implement the right projects at the right time, meet the legal goals. We are a legal organization, and deliver those renewable energy targets. So, you know, we're in that transition period. We've had some wholesale energy increases this year. We'll continue to see those increases over the next few years. So it's important for people to be aware that that transition is happening. It's a valuable transition. The long-term vision is once we get to those renewables, we'll have a more fixed cost. That's the thought process to help levelize long-term rates. But in this period of transition, we're investing into new technology.
I'm glad you went there too. And before, I'm gonna ask you another thing about wildfire mitigation. I'm glad you brought that up. But give us some sense first of the territory, SLV REC. Give us some sense of what you cover. Because, you know, for me personally, I'm not a customer, right? I'm Excel because I'm in town.
Yep.
Give us, but I know, and this is where I was going to go on wildfire, because as an Excel customer, it seems like we're always being warned of power, proactive power loss, because they're trying to protect their system.
Yep.
From wildfire problems, winds. And sometimes SLV REC is not doing that, that you're good. I'm not sure why. But I'm curious on, just give me the territory that you cover, all the places you cover, and then take us there on wildfire mitigation and what comes into your equation on whether you're going to proactively reduce power or how you are seeing that.
Yeah, certainly. You know, we are in one of the most rural service territories in the nation, a typical rural cooperative, so a small energy utility like us, has 8 members per mile on average. At REC, we have today around 3 to 4. So we're about half what a small rural utility is. And yet we have one of the largest, geographically largest service areas for a rural utility as well. You know, we're roughly 7,500 square miles, 2,800 miles of line, 45,000 poles. It's massive. I mean, as you know, it takes a while to drive across the valley. And really, the boundaries of the mountain ranges are our boundaries and our service area down to the New Mexico border, with the exception of, the city of Center as a municipality. And then Excel serves most of the townships.
Right.
So we really have the rural area. So it's a challenge to have all that infrastructure and few people to help pay for that infrastructure and recover those costs. So we very focus on cost. In terms of wildfire, we've conducted an assessment. We know exactly where all of our lines are, the fuels, the soils, the historical weather data, slope angles. So we know where the high priority areas are. Fortunately, most of our area isn't in a high priority risk hazard area, though there is elements of concern for wildfires. There's been fires in the valley historically. So we have implemented a strategy of automation and grid hardening and implementing new technologies, which we're working towards now. Some of that is, sectionalizing our system into smaller pieces, upgrading areas that are in higher risk zones, and then have a decision tree, if you will. So we're actively watching weather. Most of our weather data comes from the weather office in Pueblo, but they issue red flag warnings. We make assessment with our information that we have and local observations to navigate that fire hazard. The way we break it down is when it is in a zone of fire hazards, we kind of initiate change in our automation settings so that we trip things off quicker if there's an event, and then they don't come back on until we patrol or the situation's cleared. And as that progresses, we expand that sensitivity, as you will, to the system settings up until a point where, you get into the question of a power shutoff. We do diverge there with, our other neighboring providers. Our perspective is really focused on preserving, life. And we also recognize that when the lights go off, there's an impact to potential of the life in that situation too. And so it's a real balancing act, and we are much more sensitive. And so we aren't taking an active role of turning power off unless there's a imminent, all the seven criteria that line up to what consider a hazard, a fuel situation, for example, are all 99% certain that there's going to be a fire or fire evidence exists before we consider that.
As I listen to you talk and do the explanation and all the factors that come in and all the things you do in the territory SLV rec covers, I don't think until now I've had an appreciation for the decision making in your industry and field, but also the pressure you must face day to day to keep electricity flowing in a period of time when we are seeing really dramatic changes in different areas, whether it's climate or whether it's the need for investment to deal with what we're going to talk about next, which is the ongoing growth of compute and the need for data centers, right? Let's go there and talk about that, because that was recently came up in Sawatch County, where they had put an emergency moratorium in place for 6 months after they heard from you and wanted to figure out, okay, we better understand our land use regulations, our 1041 regulations, in case we get projects. Explain for us first why we need data centers, and then why we are hearing so much and seeing so much about the construction of data centers all across the U.S. It's a hot, hot topic.
Certainly, yeah. So, data centers really have been around for quite a while now. The idea is it's a digital storage facility that serves things that we're familiar with, like streaming services, cloud services, newer technologies like AI compute power. So there's a wide spectrum. If you're using a computer these days or a cell phone, you're basically utilizing a data center.
And who is it, right?
Yeah, and who is it? Well, it's hard to identify that. So that's a good question. There is certainly a differentiation in shapes and sizes, but also in ownership. They're not all large corporations. A lot of the discussions that happen and that have come in through our door are actually local individuals, entrepreneurs, really, in the digital technology space, trying to find opportunities as our neighbors and develop small projects. They're all around us. They've been around us for a while. Typically, hospitals would have a data storage site, but it'd be outside of their building. Now they go to the cloud, and it might be anywhere in the country, but there is some relevancy to have it local because there's some latency the further away it gets, and also you start losing control and having some downside to accessing that environment. So there really is some advantages to being able to have those services local too.
Mm-hmm. Give us some perspective and some context, because a data center project here in the San Luis Valley is probably going to be different than some of the data center projects we're hearing about, massive ones that we're hearing about elsewhere that are really gaining a lot of pushback, right? There's a huge populist movement against data. You say those two words and you're like, go away. I don't even want to hear that. Yeah. And I can imagine then from your perspective, from a local government perspective, anytime you bring a project forward, you're probably going to get a lot of what? Why do you want to do that? Explain why we're seeing these projects emerging now and we're hearing so much about data centers now, 2026.
Yeah, so what's changed? They've been around for a while, so why now? It's really the this AI-driven technology and the demand, and you know it's really a race for technology too, to some degree. So there's a lot of larger corporations that are investing into what we referred to as hyperscale data centers. These are the large devices that we aren't having those conversations with. They're not interested in coming here because we don't have the resources to develop those kind of projects. Those are, you know, urban central areas across America, like the Front Range here in Colorado. But that's what's driving a lot of the national news that we're hearing about. And it leads people to ask questions like, is that coming here? Is that going to impact my rates, my reliability? And, you know, what else is that going? How else might that impact me? Those are all the right questions. And we certainly are asking those same questions. I mean, we are safeguarding. Our role is to safeguard our members from, you know, rate increases and ensure reliability. And that's what we do every day. So we're asking the same questions and out there protecting the members. And I really appreciate the commissioner of Sawatch County. You know, we had a visit with them and we need to have these conversations so we can be prepared and understand these technologies and challenges and opportunities, because what's happening coming here, if possible, wouldn't be these large hyperscale data centers, but what opportunities that might present themselves to us are these smaller rural data centers that might be even a local development project.
Give us an example of something like that. Give us just kind of an example of this would be the type of project or the scope of a project that might find its way to a county commissioner chamber, whether it's Sawatch County, Rio Grande County, Alamosa County, what have you, right? What would be that type of project that would have data center tied to it that we may see?
Yeah, so we have one local resident that's been investigating and having conversations about exploring a small data center that potentially could exist on a private property that they already own to help automate or create some automation opportunities for the agricultural industry here in the Valley, basically providing an automation service to make more efficient use of our pivots and water usage and energy usage. I don't know where that's going to go, but it's just an example of one of the conversations we've had. Another one is another local individual has been exploring purchasing some property in the Valley and developing, AI compute capabilities and trying to leverage this wave of entrepreneurial opportunity here in the Valley with a small project that is equivalent to like startup of 10 kW, which is about the load of a house. However, the equipment would fit in a room smaller than this table we're standing at here today. Mm-hmm. So it's quite small. Last year we had engaged in a conversation with an entity that wasn't local. They were a rural development utility company, GreenSpark. They've built us a couple of these data centers in rural Alaska. And in fact, there's quite a few articles on the web you can search, and some of them are pretty awesome because like those communities have lower rates today because of these projects and no bad things happened. But what it did do is bring some technology and accessibility to services that might not exist, and including some revenue streams for the utility to offset the cost of the rates. So we talked to them, and they were looking at a 2-megawatt project. This project would be take a space, an industrial building space, like a metal building, roughly 40 by 40, and be out of sight, out of mind. And that's basically all it is. It's just IT equipment sitting in a space, whether it's a 20-foot container or a metal building or something in a back closet in an existing building. They don't necessarily have to be massive devices. And another concern, we get asked about, and of course we are asking too, is what about water? Because we hear in the national news a lot of use of water in these big devices. the smaller ones that come in that we've had these conversations with, there's no use of water. They use typical air conditioning units or some closed loop refrigeration cycle. They aren't using water to cool these smaller ones. It's not necessary.
A different type of them, what you're describing, a much different type of project or data center that would have those words to it. But I wonder, when we use data center, AI, there's such a populist pushback, right? All over. Whenever you just bring those up, what would be to the detriment of the Valley if we didn't consider some of what you're talking about, some of those types of projects? What would be the detriment if we didn't do that, have those types of conversations? Because again, you're having this, now you bring it up and no, we're not even talking about, we're not going to go there. How do you break through that?
Well, every day we talk about how to, deliver our services, these energy services, and maintain low cost, affordable rates in our communities. And it's a challenge because, 20 years ago or 25 years ago, irrigation made up over 60% of the revenue to recover the cost for all that infrastructure. Today, it makes up about 40%. And it's not because the rest of the Valley revenue sources have grown. So what's happening is although there's enough growth to almost flatten, maintain that revenue pretty flat. So it's not necessarily overall been decreasing dramatically. But as we know, all of the environment around us of expenses has dramatically been increasing over the last 25 years or even the last 5 years. And so it gets harder and harder to deliver affordable services unless there's some economics development or stimulus to bring in more revenue to pay for that infrastructure. Our approach to growth is growth pays. There's nobody that comes in like an industry like data centers. If they come in and want to develop a small rural project, they're going to pay for all those expenses. None of that gets passed along to anybody else but them. Yet the members will get to have the benefit of using that revenue to offset their cost for all the existing infrastructure out there. So that's really the opportunity. And if we say no, the cost of power is going to get harder for all of us to pay for together. And that's what we would miss out on.
That's really, really interesting. We're going to come back. We're talking to Eric Erickson. This is the Valley Pod. We'll be right back.
Just down the road in Antonito, a short drive from Alamosa, climb aboard the historic Cumbres and Toltec Scenic Railroad. Stream through Colorado's high country in the San Luis Valley. Plan your trip at cumbresandtoltec.com. Support comes from Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. CHFA supports Colorado home ownership and works with a statewide network of lenders. Visit chfainfo.com/your home. CHFA is an equal housing lender.
Hey, we're back. This is the Valley Pod. We're talking to Eric Erickson. He's the CEO of San Luis Valley Rural Electric Cooperative. Has a ton of really good insights, context, because you're in that power energy industry, electricity that, I don't know, we're in an era where...
A golden era.
A golden era.
The demand for electrification is greater than it's ever been in the history of the world.
I was going to ask you that. Give us, what is the data that you have or any power company has that supports or justifies the build out one of data centers, but also the data that tells us how much more power we're using that SLV Rec or XL or anyone out there has to help us as consumers access?
So I'll try and see if I understand the question. This industry, data centers, we approach it no different than if an industrial building or a new ski resort or any other load comes into the area. It's an engineering service first and foremost. So they put an application in, they explain what their needs are, and then we have an obligation to try and serve that. And so we study that, the cost associated into the, if there's any system improvements. And then in doing so, we have a very technical, clear understanding of any potential impacts and mitigation and costs, time frame. And we present that back as a proposal, just like we would in a house, in a residential service, or a large industrial or a data center. So it all gets treated the same. The So in that regard there, that gives us a lot of data to really understand what those loads are technically to the system. And as you heard, we've had lots of underutilization because irrigation's been declining over the years. So we have a lot of capacity here on our local system to serve, you know, these smaller data centers without impact to the rest of our members.
Interesting.
The other piece of that is people ask about the communications. They feel like there's some restrictions or limitations on the communication piece. Just not true. We have some of the most robust and biggest availability in terms of capacity is across the country. So happens to be on our location and the highway that comes through here. We have tremendous fiber capacity. Our entire system is on equivalent of 10 gigabits for serving the entire valley. We have terabits of capacity that's not being used just because the infrastructure is installed. So in terms of serving some of these data centers, they utilize that service, certainly, and we have a lot of it. We'd love to sell them.
And then what else are you seeing or what you are seeing from what you get information that tells us or shows us as a society, as a valley, as communities in the valley, we are using more power, using more electricity, in need of more power like than we've ever had. The golden era you talked about. What, explain that more for us. Go a little bit deeper there.
Well, you know, we have all these opportunities of technologies, and I think we're making these responsible assessments based on, cost, environmental impacts, social economic impacts. And when you put all those together in this day that we're in around our nation, electrification is the sweet spot. It's the most efficient and cleanest use of running everything we do in our lives, from turning on our stoves and our refrigerators and our lights, and allowing economic opportunities from remote work and working from home. And that's a really, I think, the choice that people are making. That's what's led our legislation to set these clean energy goals and policies that are directing us as an industry to head that way. So collectively as a state and even to, a degree, the nation has said that.
Do you have concern for your customers on the cost as part of the equation? I mean, you talked about if a data center is going to come in through our system, they're going to pay for what they have to, whatever that is, and it's not going to get passed through. But if we don't see that growth in customers or growth of, then maybe what's the cost? What is the worry that customers should have or that you would have for your customers when it comes to cost, annual increases? Because that's, you know, as an Excel customer, I can tell you, my Excel bill keeps going up, right? And there's not much I can do. It doesn't seem like to control that. I don't know, but you're a different entity.
Well, I think you have to break it down into two pieces. One of those questions I heard in there was, what is the cost associated with, like, the data center industry? And again, the idea here is that any new industry, any new development, any new demand on the system, the cost causer pays. So in the situation where that data center industry is driving growth, they're obligated to pay for that growth. And that's our position. So growth pays. They're, you know, regulating, discussing that across the country to how to create regulations to ensure that happens. But as an organization and a community member, that's our position. So we won't jeopardize our members at all with any new low growth. Now, the other piece of that is our existing growth, our existing members, and how to serve them. Well, as we transition to renewables, because that's what's been legislated, that comes at a cost. So the cost driving that they're experiencing isn't related to that growth in data centers here locally, but related to the transition to deliver renewable energy and comply with state law.
Got you. I want to ask you, because there were a couple of bills introduced this year in the Colorado legislature. They did not get through, but they were trying to deal with AI data centers and whether the state of Colorado incentivizes data center buildouts. Is there positions that rural cooperatives like yours have staked out when it comes to state legislation and whether the state should incentivize this, or what are the rules you would like to see at the state level, the legislature deal with when it comes to data center incentivizing them in the state of Colorado?
Yeah, like most things, it's hard to apply policy to a one-size-fits-all idea, and I think that's true with data centers. You know, most of the national news is these large data centers. Well, nationally, states are fighting for those opportunities to bring those resources to their states, and or utilities, you know, investor-owned utilities, which are different than us as a nonprofit, and other organizations are also competing for those opportunities in that market segment. So that's not us. I mean, that's out there on that national level, but it impacts us because we hear about it on the news. It could lead to misunderstandings of information. Here at the local level, I think really it's just differentiating that it's not a one-size-fits-all, that they're not all big hyper data centers, that we have these edge or rural data center opportunities, which are quite different, and that regardless if they incentivize those larger projects to also create opportunity for these smaller ones, because they're the ones that would help us and we could, you know, take advantage of and help offset our costs here. And we're competing with all the rural places in America. And so they're looking at putting these small data centers in other places. And if we could attract those, and then some incentives would support that attraction to put up our hand and say, hey, we're open for business. We would love to have you here in our community so you can help bring in additional revenue and offset the costs to our other members. So it would be a positive impact and not a negative impact.
Really interesting. Really, really appreciate you coming in and lending your expertise and context to the conversations that I'm sure are going to continue to ensue in county chambers here in the San Luis Valley when we think of data center projects, or we think of technology, or we think of power. And we're in a really, I don't know, how would you describe the period of time when you talked about the golden era? I'm just kind of like trying to follow along.
Yeah.
We're just in this period of time where things are just evolving faster and faster as we can keep up. I don't know how you're seeing that.
Well, you and I have been around for a while, and in our time, we've experienced this period where things were changing, but at a slow rate. And then here we are today where it seems like things are just changing so fast and every day. And so it's uncomfortable for us because we kind of want to stay in that old state where we could kind of prepare and plan, but things are happening so fast now. And to some degree, we have to prepare ourselves for accepting change and that it's coming faster.
Is that harder? One more question, we'll let you go, because I'm just thought about that. Your service territory, the customers you serve, the rural, really rural customers, is it more difficult for an SLV rec customer to see what we're talking about than others that aren't that rural? Is the change even harder on them? I wonder about that.
Well, I think it's individual. Yeah, it probably impacts people differently. And I know just within our employee group, we have employees that you experience it differently. And so I believe that is true. It's not a one size fits all, but, you know, the world and our environment that we're in is infecting all of us, and it is changing unlike it ever has in history.
You can't hide, huh?
You can't hide. Yeah. Doing the best we can to prepare our employees and provide education and training and support for them, preparing our members. We provide a lot of education content, like this opportunity to share with you today about data centers.
Yeah, I really appreciate you coming in and wish you the best the rest of 2026. You've been listening to the Valley Pod on our episode with Eric Erickson. He's the CEO of San Luis Valley Rural Electric Cooperative. The Valley Pod is presented by Cumbres Toltec and Scenic Railroad, the Lohr Foundation, and CHAFA, Colorado Housing and Finance Authority. We appreciate their support. The Valley Pod is produced by Owen Woods as part of the AlamosaCitizen.com podcast lineup. See you around the Valley.
Looking for the freshest food in the Valley? Introducing the new SLV Local Foods Directory, where you can meet your neighbors and eat better. From colorful potatoes and crisp greens to farm-fresh eggs, dairy, and meat, find exactly who grows your food right here in the Valley. Support local, eat fresh, and strengthen our community. Are you a local farmer or producer? Add your information. Visit AlamosaCitizen.com today and discover the freshest food from the heart of the Valley.